Second hour, Darren Donica, Jace here on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day. Don't forget, 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow as Nashville SC takes on Columbus at Nissan Stadium. Pregame starts at 7:15. The match begins at 7:30 p.m. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe here at Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Los Angeles Kings tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. Pete and Hal will have your call here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6 o'clock. David Poyle set to join us in a little bit less than 10 minutes, so we'll talk some Preds hockey with him coming up here very shortly. What did you make of the call at the end of the game? Good idea about it. Try to put yourself in the moment.
Yeah.
Try to think of your thoughts when it was going on, not after the fact, because, you know, hindsight, who isn't a genius? Hindsight. At the time when they decided to go for it on fourth and a half of a yard, which I thought was a pretty interesting spot, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they may have...
They might have got away with one.
Got a nice little gift there.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't look at it.
Me too.
I'm surprised that they didn't look at it. There's another play that I was surprised they didn't look at in the first... Okay, I meant to ask you this before I answer your question. I think it was the first half, under 2 minutes. Was it Amani Hooker that tried to one-hand it to make the interception?
Yes.
How close was that close at all? Mm-mm. Okay, I was just curious on that.
There were a couple that looked close.
Yeah.
But when you saw the replay, they definitely
bounced
off the ground.
They don't show all the replays.
Well, that surprised me. That Joe said there was no replays in the press box.
Yeah, I mean they're very.
And you weren't seeing anything out in the stands.
They showed a few, like if it was a pro Titans play, like if it was a big Titans play, and which I kind of want. I want to talk game ops at some point about the Titans. I would like to get into that a little bit later in the show.
Is it something different than what we've talked about for a long, long time?
I just have a different view on it now.
You think it's better?
No.
Oh.
I don't.
Well, then what's different?
I actually think it's worse.
Oh, you think it's worse?
Yeah.
Oh, is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess anything's possible. But on the play, I'm okay going for it. Like, looking at it in the moment, because your offense had – I mean, here's the thing. The Titans won the game because – their offense came alive and was able to keep up with the Bills' offense. But the defense got a few key stops. You sacked him three times. Landry had two of those. There were some big goal line plays that held him to field goals, so I'll give you that. But they still put 34 up on you, and they ran through you. So I don't blame them for going for it. I don't blame them for going for it at all. I just didn't put 31. Sorry. I just don't like the play call necessarily. I thought, you know, QB sneaks, you never know. I know he's big, he's Josh Allen, but I think you could have done something a little more creative just because that's how you were carving him up on that drive. I mean, Rick looked at me and I looked at him when the Titans scored to go up 34-31. You gave him too much time. And then Vrabel's clock management of not using the timeouts, I was questioning that. Now, it worked out in his favor because they made a stop, but I was kind of like, why would you not use the timeouts and preserve some time here? And then it was starting to look like, are they trying to let him score and then march downfield? But I don't blame him for going for it. I think the percentages probably told you that you would have gotten it. It was just a huge stop.
Ask Kelly Holcomb about quarterback sneaks.
Yeah, he doesn't like quarterback sneaks.
He thinks one of the more idiotic things going is the quarterback sneak, because you put your quarterback, especially in this case, your franchise quarterback, in harm's way. Remember, he had done one earlier in the game and got blown up, if you remember. They swarmed him. Not that play. There was another play because – it was like, man. But here's the thing. I don't think the Bills, and I brought this up all last week when we were talking about the game, they don't have a very good rushing attack.
Yeah.
I mean, Singletary and Moss are just like, okay.
I mean, Josh Allen is their rushing attack.
I mean, he's led them in games in rushing, which is probably a problem. But Kelly Holcomb will tell you the quarterback sneak play is awful. I think what's really more egregious is if you are going to run that play, why would you go to the left?
Right.
Right where 98 is.
Right. They went right at it.
When you go the other way?
Yeah.
Like, to me, I see Jeffrey Simmons, I identify where he is, and I'm going the other side.
Yeah, and I even think in that situation, and I'm one of those, like, when it's half a yard or less and you're there on the goal line, I'm kind of against going in shotgun. But with the way that offense runs, like, if you lined up shotgun and went draw, I think you have a better shot of getting it than what they ran, just with Josh Allen.
So I will give you my honest assessment in the moment. I know a lot of people will disagree, but I was sitting there going, I would kick the field goal.
Yeah.
And I know, like I said, I've said this many times, I try to give you my assessment at the time it's happening, not afterwards, because it's real easy to question things after you see it play out. In the moment, I would have kicked the field goal and gone, taking my chances in overtime. Now, you could say, hey, the Titans have been scoring it. Believe it or not, the Bills' defense, which has been so good this year, the Titans had the last, like, I think their final, what was it, six possessions, I'm trying to go off the top of my head, were like four, what was it, result was four touchdowns?
And moved the ball methodically.
I mean, that seems right. So the Bills were not stopping them. So, say that again?
They were moving the ball methodically. It wasn't like they intercepted one, at the 30 and then scored on only moving 40 yards. They moved the ball down the field pretty much at will in that fourth quarter.
So you can say, oh, well, why would you do that? Because then if you lose, you're going to leave the game in the hands of the, your defense hasn't been able to stop them. If you lose the coin toss, then you're going to lose there. But I don't know. I just didn't love it. To me, it stinks that Josh Allen, if you're the Bills, it stinks that he didn't get the first down on that scramble. So you just have to me, you're like, chalk it up as half yard short. We just got to kick the field goal and try to finish this thing off in overtime. That's just me.
Yeah, I think the way McDermott looked at it, and it's a you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. The way the momentum had kind of swung. I mean, the Titans had swagger. They had some swagger there at the end. The offense was clicking. A.J. Brown was the pitch count was put aside. Like, you could tell he was feeling it. He was locked in. And so I guess the way that McDermott looked at it is we need to go for the win here and not for the tie, because even if you give Tannehill 40 seconds, I think he takes a shot to, to get it lined up to kick for Bullock to kick or whatever. Well, I guess that wouldn't have mattered, but they would have gone for it too. So I think just going for the win was probably what McDermott was thinking.
All right, let's have our weekly chat with Predators general manager David Poile. He is on the line with us. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Great game for the Titans last night. That was super exciting. We need some of that magic to happen for us tonight.
No doubt about it. Downtown has been a buzz since Saturday night here with the crowd here versus Carolina. Then Monday night, last night at Nissan Stadium. I mean, there's been a lot of activity, a lot of stuff going on downtown. So it's been a great atmosphere. And like you said, hopefully that'll continue tonight against Los Angeles. And you guys can find a way to get your first win. The news came out yesterday that you guys had decided to send Cody Glass down to Milwaukee. Two games into the season, what did you not like about Cody Glass's play that you think maybe some development down in Milwaukee would help?
Well, as a young player, you want to put them in positions to be successful. A player that, to me, has potential of being an offensive player to be playing top 6 minutes, being now down to 10 or 11 minutes a game, not playing in a lot of important situations, getting some opportunities on the power play, but just not playing enough. So, we go through this a lot in our development process. I mean, that's what our purpose here is with our younger players, is to develop them correctly. And everybody gets it at different times, different ages, different levels of experience. And I think, you know, Cody was doing pretty good. I think he has a case that maybe we should have given him a little bit longer runway. But I think we can find out pretty soon down in Milwaukee if he gets to play in, you know, high minutes, first line, for example, power play, penalty kill. I mean, has some success you know, getting goals, assists, get his confidence at what I would call the higher level. I think things will work out fine there. I mean, I just kind of, looking back at last season, of all the changes that we made, with, especially with our younger players, like Jakob Trenin wasn't even in our first game, nor was Ole Tolvanen. And then Alex Carrier got called up because of, you know, injuries. Just young guys that, you know, we'd either, it wasn't their time, or we hadn't given the opportunity or put them in the right place at the right time. So I think it's, as we always refer to,
did we lose David?
I think we might have lost David.
I think he's close to 100%. He's on there. But, again, he has not played a lot of games in the last couple of years because of COVID and his injury. So it's not perfect news for him. Again, I think next time he comes back up here, which I'm sure will be this year, we'll have a much more complete player.
A guy that we saw in preseason and in camp, Tommy Novak, you guys call him back up. What does he bring to the table? What do you guys like about him?
Well, an offensive flair. Again, it's talk about, we just talked about Cody Glass. I mean, it's hard to believe that we drafted Tommy as an 18-year-old back in 2015. So it's not exactly like I refer to at times, like the NFL draft, where, you know, players can just come in and help you. Like, they're college seniors. They might be, you know, 21, 22, 23 years of age. But when they come right into the NFL, where these guys are just 18 and it takes a little bit of time. But Tommy's gotten better every year down there. His skating was a little bit of an issue, but that's really improved. His overall strength has improved. And he's starting to put up, you know, really big numbers. He did that last year in the AHL for the limited season there. He played really well in our training camp. And you could make a case that he outperformed a couple other people, maybe even, you know, Cody Glass in terms of his production. So I think he goes right into Cody's position. He gets time on the power play, and we need to have some scoring. We need to have some production, and it would be great if Tommy can do that. So it's a great opportunity for him, and he certainly deserves it based on how he's improved and how he played in training camp.
What did you see out of Phil Tomasino, who got his NHL debut on Thursday night's season opener against the Kraken? I know he wasn't in the lineup on Saturday, but David, what did you see out of him? Still, once again, there's another young guy, even younger, 20 years of age, your first round pick in 2019. What did you see out of him? And, you know, how does that discussion go on, you know, how you handle a guy at that age just getting his first taste of the NHL?
Well, let me go to the finish line first. I'm very confident, seeing Phil, you know, for a few years now, and watching his work ethic and all the time that he puts into the game, that he's going to be a top six forward for us. But not unlike the example of Cody Glass or even a Tommy Novak with these young players, you know, you don't know if this is exactly the right time. Obviously, it's not perfect if he's not playing in every game, and then you get back into, you know, minutes and you know, where we can contribute. But again, in this first game, I thought he did some good things. The puck always seems to come to him, so he always seems to get one or two opportunities, and that's where I feel he's going to be an important player for us, because I do believe he's going to score for us. But again, there's some things, not that he was the only person that did this, and not trying to be overly critical, where, you know, attention to details, where some plays should have been a little bit deeper, or not turning over the puck, entering the zone, those type of situations. But again, he's the youngest player on the team, and he's just starting. So I do think, you know, just overall, and this is a general statement, not just about Tomasino, when we're dealing with this many young players, there's going to have to be, and there will be some, you know, more changes, whether it's Glass going down, a player like Fanisev that had a terrific camp, I mean, he should get some games, and, you know, a number of other guys. So, you know, we're just two games into an 82-game schedule, so I think we've got to give it a little bit of time to play out for, you know, people like Phil Tomasino.
speaking with David Poile, Predators general manager here on Darren Donick and Chase. Both of your goals coming from the top line on Saturday night against Carolina. Johansson had the goal in the second period, and then Forsberg with the late goal to get it back to a one-goal game late. So far, like you said, two games in, but there's a lot of expectations for that top line. How have you felt about Johansson, Duchesne, and Forsberg?
I thought they played well overall. Again, I feel our total game was much better in the second game against Carolina, a top team. The Seattle game, we were late arriving, if you will. As the game went along, we were better and we were the better team and easily could have tied it up. But in Carolina, I thought we should have won 40 shots against them is fantastic. So you know, we're close, but specifically we're not you know, we've not scored enough goals. I mean, you know, two, I think, even strength goals in two games. That's, you know, we need to get that up. But as we talked in the off season and getting closer to training camp, that this was going to be an area that we were going to be a little bit challenged in, and we've got to find a way to be more productive, because it's going to be hard to, you know, in this league you can win 3-2, but we've got to get to that third goal, and you know, we haven't been able to do that in the two games. And it's you know, these one game losses, I mean, it's close, but you don't get any points for being close. So we're going to need that first line of Forsberg, Duchesne, and Johansson to be not only leaders and drivers for us, but they're going to have to be you know, more productive. But we can't put it all on them. We got to get some scoring for some other lines and some other players. And you know, right now, if I was, you know, looking for one thing to improve, that would be the offensive part of our game, because I think overall we're playing you know, pretty well defensively, pretty strong in a lot of areas. Our penalty killing was really good against Carolina. We need our power play to come alive, and you know, that in itself could make a big difference if we could score on our power play.
David, along those lines of getting the offensive game going, and you mentioned his name earlier, but do you get a sense that Elli Tolvanen has much more confidence coming into this year? We've already seen him find the back of the net, but you know, just his overall game now that he's got several NHL games under his belt, that he's playing with a little more confidence?
I do. I think I like to use the word swagger a little bit. I mean, you know, a little bit, you know, another year older, of course, a little bit more mature. His overall game, his preparation, his conditioning, a little bit quicker, all those things. He really feels he can score. And again, going back to this, you know, same conversation, we're going to need him to come through for us. So we got that one goal in the first game. He's a guy that could make the difference for us on the power play. So, you know, Granlund, you know, Cunning and Tolvanen should be a good line for us. But, you know, right now I think everybody just needs to be a little more productive. And I think Tolvi's got a really good chance to be one of the guys that could come through for us in that area. And that's that secondary scoring that we're going to need. And if we get it, it's going to make all the difference in the world for us.
Darren had the opportunity to talk to Mark Borowiecki in post-game the other night as he made his season debut. It's, you know, well-documented what he went through last year. But, you know, you've always prided yourself on having depth pieces for this team, and especially on defense. What'd you see out of him, and how important can he be for this team in that defensive core?
Yeah, he was really steady for us in the first game that he's played in a long, long time. And as you said, you know, so many situations last year that just made it for a terrible season for him. And, you know, it was good. He had a really good summer. He came to camp. He played well and finally gets in a game. I'm pretty sure he's going to play again tonight. He's a really good person, provides a lot of leadership for our team, especially with all of these younger guys that we have this year. So happy for Mark. And, you know, again, he's a guy that can also be pretty physical, and that might come in handy here as we start playing some of these teams and just ramping it up a little bit. So good start for Mark.
Obviously, you know, David Riddick being on the COVID list, not ideal, but it gives Connor Ingram the opportunity to go through the warmups, practice with the team, be with the team during games, and potentially even get a chance to play at some point. How big is that for him just to be around and with his development as a goaltender for your organization?
Connor's come a long way this offseason, and training camp was outstanding. I mean, he's very close to being a NHL goaltender. I think we're just getting to that point where, you know, if we create that opportunity, I think we're really comfortable putting him in games. You know, just right now our schedule is fairly light. However, you know, this weekend we play Winnipeg and then Minnesota back-to-backs. If David Rittich is not back, that could be an opportunity for Connor to play. And if that's the case, I don't think we have any hesitation based on how he's performed at training camp. So that's a real good feel-good story for us and you know, for him. And again, it just seems to be getting better all the time. It's his focus is really good. His talent has always been there, and I think everybody's cheering for him on our team.
David, you've talked about the changes that you've made, manager, and trading guys that have been here for a long time. One of those returns tonight, and Victor Arvidsson, and I don't necessarily want you to talk about that part of it. It's just his story, the fact that he was such a little guy. I remember the first game I saw him play, he got knocked down in the corner. I'm like, how is he going to make it in the NHL? But he pops right back up, and that's where that term RV hustle came from. Just how much he meant to the franchise and what it'll be like to have him back in the building tonight.
The Energizer Bunny. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yep.
The guy that got passed over in the draft the first time. We didn't draft until the second year, which is in the fourth round. I mean, you know, I mean, clearly the underdog of all underdogs, and just a great story. You know, going down, sign them, play them in Milwaukee. You know, finally give them a chance up here, and talk about being competitive. And as you say, it's not getting knocked down, getting back up, and you know, just brought a lot of excitement to our franchise. And you know, the fans loved him, the RV chants and all that. So certainly one of the better forwards in the history of our franchise comes back tonight. And again, he's in a good position. He's been in LA's top line with Kopitar, who was player of the week in the first week of the season. So pretty good landing spot for RV. So happy for him. And you know, really glad that we were the ones that drafted him, gave him a chance, and I'm really appreciative of all the things that he did for us over the years.
And with that being said, you hope his team loses.
Absolutely. We need this one you know, tonight. I mean, it's a change that I felt that we had to make. I mean, you know, RV might have a little bit different story, but I think all in all, I think it was time. I mean, you know, sometimes it just happens in this business where, you know, you have to move on, and it's not the same. The grass is greener somewhere else. It's just time for a change. And you know, I think it was right for us and right for him. And we wish him well, and we certainly don't want him to be very productive at all tonight. But we'll welcome him with open arms and go Preds. We got to get this game tonight.
Well said, David. Thanks for the visit, as always. We'll see you tonight, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
That's Predators General Manager David Poile. Always good to have him join us on Tuesdays starting at 11:15. Well, he'll be back in the mix when we come back on the other side. But right now I'm going to talk to you about... That's all, folks.
Two.
I want to talk to you about, you know, something else that's back. The NBA is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. The key to victory is a strong starting five. All new customers, listen up. You can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win a game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. So why not make your roster Washington, Washington, Washington? Washington, you know where I'm going with this. So, yeah, and Washington. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with the same game parlays. Combine multiple bets for the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. All you have to do is download that DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that promo code 1025GAME and just bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game. And when they do so, you win $200 in free bets. Just use that code 1025GAME this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.